you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. By helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, October 16th, 2024, and we'll continue with the series by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church on how to get through what you're going through, focusing on shock when your world collapses. This was about a 50-minute message, and I placed it into yesterday, the Tuesday, and today's edition of Mark and Friends. And as mentioned yesterday, for the following next 6 or 7 weeks, on Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll continue with the topics sorrow, struggle, surrender, sanctification, and service. Yesterday, we touched on showing up, but oftentimes shutting up. If you don't have words to share, don't worry about it. Just listen. Practice the ministry of presence, just being there. Share in their pain, but take the initiative. Don't give them too many questions. Don't ask them how you can help. Just narrow it down. What can I bring you on Tuesday? Would you like this or that? Take that initiative and help them to learn to cry out to God and just be supportive. Today we're going to look at cultivating strong relationships and cultivating spiritual roots, as there's great importance in being a part of a small group where you can be transparent and grow together, study God's word, and fellowship in each other's sufferings. We'll pick up right where we left off yesterday as Pastor Rick Warren talks with two special guests that went through horrendous times.
Now, what do you do when your world collapses? Well, I thought we'd ask a couple people who've experienced that at a level none of us have ever possibly experienced. 20 years ago, the worst disaster of mankind happened in Rwanda with the genocide, when 1 million brothers, sisters, fathers, and mothers were killed in 100 days. And it literally caused a nation to collapse. And so I asked two of my good friends from Rwanda, Louis and Lilios, to come and let me just ask them, how did you get through that? And so let's welcome first Lily and Louis. Thank you, friends. These dear friends are two of the Rwanda Peace Board. But Lilios and Louis, I want to ask you just two questions. First, what was it like to have your world collapse? What did it mean to you? How did you feel? And then I'm going to ask you the second question. I'll come back to that one. And that is, how did you get through it? So let's just start with, tell me the story.
Thank you. 1994 was my worst year in my life. I was in Tanzania training to be a pastor in the Anglican Church in Rwanda. So the worst happened when I was in a seminary.
Yeah.
It was a terrible time. I had just gone back to Tanzania after my Christmas holidays. So when I was in Tanzania in April 1994, the worst happened. And I lost my three brothers in 1 month.
Three brothers, wow.
They were killed. One was killed together with his wife. They left two children. They miraculously survived. But the two were still young, not yet married. So that was my really worst moment in life. I was in shock, as you have just preached. I was in shock, terrified, confused, bitter, angry. It was the worst moment in my life.
Just all those emotions at once.
Yeah.
Lilios, what about you?
Okay, indeed, Pastor, I lost my mother during genocide in 94. I was not in Rwanda. I was married in Congo in 91. And the time I left my my family, I embraced them. But I didn't know that it was the last time I see my mom face to face. And in 94, for me, my mom and my dad could never die. Because my mom, she was a deacon in church. She was a fervent and a strong believer. And as a young believer, I could not imagine how Jesus could let my mom go.
Sure.
So I said, maybe she will pray and God will remember what she has done. And then she will forget about my mom. My mom will stay alive because my father would survive because he was in Belgium for eye treatment. Mm. That's how he survived.
Wow.
And 3 weeks later, after the genocide happened, 6 April, 3 weeks later, my brother called me from Goma, which is a town in Congo near Rwanda.
Sure.
Yes, he called me. He said, Lily, where are you? I said, I'm at home. Why? He said, are you alone? I said, yes, I'm alone. I was finished to bath my baby boy, our baby boy, the firstborn, Kevin. He was 5 months. Mm-hmm. He said, Lily, now it's sure mom has gone to the Lord.
Oh.
I said, no, Jesus cannot do that. Mm. I cried, I screamed, I shouted, I said, I accuse God of all injustice in the world. Mm-hmm. I said, he cannot do that. Mm. If my mom go, who else will stay?
Yeah.
God is not fair. That was my belief. And I stayed in the room, the baby room, the whole day till night. And until people in Congo came and came to comfort me.
Yeah.
But I said, this is not fair because my mom was very dear to me. And when I left Rwanda, I was thinking one day, at least one day, I could go back and meet my mom. And that's what happened to me. And from that day, I could not breastfeed my son.
Huh.
All of a sudden, it stopped.
Just dried up.
Yeah, it's dried up. I could ask even old mamas. Uh-huh. I asked them with every method, it cannot come back. Uh-huh. I had to struggle with the milk with our baby boy.
Yeah.
But later on, I could understand that it was a shock.
It was shock.
It was a shock and many other things later on I discovered.
Wow. You can imagine talking to people in Rwanda, many have lost 4, 5, 10, 15, and 20 relatives, all murdered. And I mean, I lost one son. Many people in Rwanda lost entire families. And we're going to deal when we get to the third stage on struggle, the question of when we're angry at the world, angry at God, angry at ourselves, angry at everybody else, and the question of fairness, we'll come to that. But the question I want to ask both of you again now is, How did you do it? How did you get through the initial shock?
Thank you, Rick. I felt sinking. Like, you remember when Peter saw Jesus?
Peter starts sinking in the water.
Exactly. I felt sinking in the sea of bitterness and anger and revenge.
Yeah.
And I cried. I cried like Peter because I was feeling myself sinking. Mm. And I thank God for the fellowship of students. Mm. In the seminary, I was enveloped by love, by care of the students who were with in the seminary. Mm. They surrounded me with love. They surrounded me with care. They cooked for me. They washed clothes for me. They wrote notes on my behalf.
Oh.
So that love also helped me in the process.
So in relationships.
That time. In relationships, that's right. Those were the steps.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And because of being in that environment of fellowship, it helped me also to hear the word of God, to revisit what the Bible says about suffering, about pain, about losing your beloved relatives. And I was very much helped by rediscovering the meaning of the cross once again.
Wow.
Because by meditating on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and also by meditating, especially the seven words of Jesus at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus at the cross, he could forgive and he could say he was saving, still saving and still forgiving.
So God understands suffering because he suffered.
Exactly. Yeah. So the meaning of the cross and discovering the meaning of God, the cross helped me so much.
Wow.
To start my journey of healing. And
thank you. Helios?
Okay. Two things helped me to recover slowly by slowly.
Uh-huh.
First, it was the church in Congo.
Hmm.
The people of Congo, in their culture, it's known that they know how to mourn.
They know
somebody.
How to mourn,
They know. They would even hire people to come and mourn. Mm-hmm. But not only that, the church itself, they come around me, they help me to understand and not to be angry with God. Especially those moments, it was not easy as a foreigner in another country to understand, to handle the loss. It was not easy. And especially there was my husband, but the church, they would come 2 months, day after day, there was somebody coming to our house and they would do everything in the house.
They were showing up.
Yes, every day, every day, every day. That's the first thing. And I discovered the meaning of the church, of the fellowship, of the family of God. Number two, later on, my husband and I were chased from Congo. You know what happened in Congo also, Rwanda. These people had to go back to... So we didn't want to go back. Me, I was afraid to go back and to see again the place where I grew up. I was afraid.
Sure.
But I did know that to go back and to see and to stay there and to check everything, that's helped me to heal.
Wow.
And I really thank God I was healed, soul, spirit, body, and I was recovered through the word and to go that process of accepting, go back to Rwanda. So in 97, that's where, after the church, that's where I was completely healed. Mm. And I thank God.
You know, let's congratulate these. Thank these people for this testimony. You know, I didn't know what Louis or Lilios was going to say, but they both said exactly what I just said. And that is, you need fellowship when you're in shock. Okay? It's not like you need a lot of prayer. It's not like you need a lot of... You need people in your life, good, godly people. Both of them said there were people who came around them in the church who surrounded them. Now, let me give you a little advice for your small groups. Most of you are in a small group. We have over 7,000 small groups now at Saddleback. There are four levels of fellowship in a small group. Most groups start off at a very shallow level. But our goal is that you can get to a deep level so that you can be there when people need you and people will be there when you need them. The shallowest form of fellowship in a small group is called the fellowship of sharing. All of our groups do this, and there's nothing wrong with it. Sharing is simply, how was your week? What did you do? Here's what I did. And we're just catching up on our weeks. That's the fellowship of sharing. That's okay. It's not the deepest level, but it's not a bad level. It's just the shallowest level, fellowship of sharing. When you start studying the Bible together, you move to a deeper level of intimacy, and that's called the fellowship of studying. When you study the scriptures together, it draws you closer together than simply sharing. If all you do is share, you don't go that deep. You got to study. Then when your small group actually does a project together, you actually begin to minister together. You help in the community. That's called the fellowship of serving. That's even deeper. And if your small group has ever done a local peace trip or a global peace trip, or you've worked in the Peace Center, or you've done some kind of ministry together, you know that if you go spend some time together working together, it draws you even closer. Fellowship of sharing, the fellowship of studying, the fellowship of serving. But the deepest level of fellowship is the fellowship of suffering. Suffering. And that's when you enter into other people's pain. Now, you know, after 9/11, do you remember how everybody was talking about it's important to be prepared for disasters? And they actually started telling you about how you should have disaster preparedness kits. And actually, my wife made one of these backpacks for my car and her car. And it lasted about, you know, 6 months in my car, but she still got hers. And you know, so that if an earthquake happens, you want to be near Kay Warren, believe me. Okay, she's got everything you need in an earthquake. And if you can have a disaster preparedness kit, is there a way to prepare yourself for an emotional disaster? Yes. Yes, there is. You can prepare for an emotional catastrophe, and you can do it now. You know, my watch, and you turn it over on the back, it says shock resistant. I want you to be shock resistant, okay? I want you to be able to handle the shocks of life better than most people. Some people never recover, but you can do things. How do you improve your resistance to shock? Well, let me just give you two things. Write these down. Number one, and we've already heard it now several times, cultivate stronger relationships. Cultivate stronger relationships. God never intended for you to go through life on your own, by yourself, handling all your problems without any support group. In fact, God created a spiritual family. That spiritual family is called the church, and your spiritual family is going to outlast your physical family. Physical families, sorry, they don't last. People grow up, they move off, they get married, there are divorces, people die. Physical families don't last. But the family of God is going to last forever. Your spiritual family will actually outlast your physical one. And so you need to cultivate strong relationships. Now, the best time for you to build a safety net for the crises that are going to inevitably happen in your life is obviously before they happen. You need the safety net now. One of the reasons why I was able to handle what I've been through is because I had a safety net that was already set up with very strong relationships. As I said, the small group I'm in, I've been in it 11 years. We've been in through every kind of crisis you could imagine. And now it was my turn. And that kind of safety net was there. It's why I keep saying to you, you need a church family and you need to be in a small group. And here's what the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 4. Two can accomplish more than twice as much as one. And if one falls down, then the other can pull him up. That's why you need a partner. That's why you need a group. One falls down, the other can pull him up. But if a man falls when he's alone, he's in trouble. One person standing alone can be attacked and defeated by any kind of circumstance. But two can stand back to back and conquer. And having three is even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I would not have made it if it hadn't been for the relationships and the small group that I had. If you are not in a small group, I beg you, let us help you start one. Let us help you get today, not next week, because we don't know what's going to happen next week. Today, start building the strong relationships. You need to cultivate strong relationships. Number two, the other thing you need to do is grow spiritual roots. You need to grow spiritual roots so that when the heat's on, you're not a tumbleweed. You don't dry up and blow away. Now, Kay alluded to this last week. You cannot be a spiritual tumbleweed. You've got to get some roots in your life. You've got to know the Bible better so when the tough times come, you know what's going to keep you strong. It's what you know that gets you through. You need to know the Bible better. You need to know God better. Here's what Jeremiah 17 says. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they go right on producing delicious fruit. You got to have roots so you can have the fruits. You got to put down some spiritual roots. Last week, Kay and I and our family, we were all on vacation. We went to Yosemite for a week because I knew I was coming back, and so we thought we'd take our vacation 1 week before we came back. And we went up to the Mariposa Grove of Redwoods. Now, many of you know I grew up in the Redwoods in Northern California. I grew up in a little town called Redwood Valley, not Redwood City, Redwood Valley, way up in the northern part of the state. The California Redwoods, the coastal Redwoods, are the tallest living things on the planet. Nothing is bigger than the Sequoia Redwoods are the largest Redwoods, and the coastal Redwoods are the tallest Redwoods, and they can grow up to 400 feet tall. Now, here's an interesting thing. I want to show you a picture of roots. Let me show you. This is up at, this is the root of one of a giant redwood, and there's my family in front. That's a good-looking family, isn't it, I tell you? I need to Instagram that picture. But here's an amazing thing. For a tree that's over 300 feet tall, that's not that many roots, really. Those aren't that deep. And the big surprise to people about redwoods, the largest living thing on the planet, is that their roots aren't nearly as deep as others are. And the reason why is this. Redwoods grow in groves. And instead of putting down really deep tap roots, they grow roots out sideways and they hold each other up. This tree fell over. That tree fell over because it wasn't in a grove. And a tree that grows really tall and isn't in a grove, doesn't have any other roots to hold it up, it's going to fall it over. You got a giant grove here. It's called Saddleback. In fact, we've got Saddleback at the Grove. Hi, Saddleback at the Grove. But you need to be in a grove. You need to be in a small group. You need to be in a church where we hold each other up. Does that make sense? So you don't have to be super deep, but you do have to be super connected. And if you're super connected, you're in this family. You're not an attender, you're a member. An attender goes to church. A member is a part of church. That's the difference. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says this. Just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with him. Let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth. What a beautiful picture. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Jesus, I know that there are many people hurting here today. I know that there are people who are in shock. I pray that they will cry out to you. I pray that they will let you adopt them into your family. If you've never said yes to Jesus Christ, just say something like this. Jesus Christ, I want to be adopted into your family. I want to trust you for my salvation. I don't understand it all, but I ask you to forgive all my sins, and I ask you to come into my life, and I ask you to show me the purpose that I was made to live for. I want to live for you the rest of my life. In your name I pray. Amen.
If you just prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. And if you have questions about your faith journey, what it means to follow Jesus, can you trust the Bible, who is God, you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call, and they're trained counselors to pray with you, to answer your questions, to encourage you in your faith journey. Next Tuesday and Wednesday at the same time, we'll continue this series by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church on how to get through what you're going through, focusing on struggle, healing a broken heart. This and all Mark and Friends programs are archived and accessible anytime at greatnewsradio.org. That's greatnewsradio.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.